Gnostics' home was Alexandria, Egypt. Very important to see that. The home that they had was in Alexandria. In the page 12 of the book, it says very clearly, the place and headquarters, thanks, Rob, this is the book, Gnosticism, the doctrinal foundation of the New Bible versions. Very important that you get that and see it. The place and headquarters of the true church of the God's temple is in Alexandria, Egypt. That's a Gnostic, which people means those that know everything, supposed to have a special knowledge. Now, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts are also from Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt was the headquarters of Gnostic doctrinal heresies, but also the Vatican Sinai Greek manuscript from Alexandria. And most modern Bibles in all languages, whatever they are based upon these manuscripts, they're filled with Gnostic heresies. Now, let me just simply say this. When we talk about the comments in the study Bible we have in italics and underlined in red, that's what we're going to talk about, the changes. Before I go any further, give illustrations, let me say this. I believe as a postulate that Gnosticism in Alexandria, Egypt, and the Gnostics changed Vatican Sinai, which were also in Alexandria, Egypt. Dean Burgon said, when the Gnostic heretics couldn't find a Bible verse to support their heresies, they changed the Bible verse. Now there's a Latin fallacy that I want you to know about. Post hoc, ergo propter hoc. After which, therefore because of which. Now, that's a fallacy many times. Just because something comes after doesn't mean it was before it preceded. It was the cause of the after. I maintain, just my belief solid in my faith, that the Gnostic heretics that came before equal the heresies in the new versions of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai. That's my belief. I think it's a logical connection. The abbreviations used, 8 Bible versions, King James, all the verses are quoted from the King James, ASV, New American Standard, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, New American Standard, New International English Standard, New Century, Chinese Union Version, which is what I use for the Chinese. And those are the ones at the foot of the page. There are 18 Gnostic errors illustrated in 59 verses. The Gnostics separate Christ from Jesus, 19 verses there. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ as Lord. They say Jesus Christ denied that he's the Son of God. They deny that Jesus Christ's special relation to his Father. They deny Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection and his ability to raise the dead. They deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They believe everyone will be saved. They deny the need of salvation. They deny the need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny his sinlessness and truthfulness. They deny that Jesus was the Creator. They deny the Trinity. They deny the omnipresence of Jesus Christ. They deny that God was manifest in the flesh, the Incarnation. They deny the mission of Jesus Christ. They deny the omnipotence. They deny that Jesus Christ can give strength. Let's proceed. First, Christ is separate from Jesus. The Gnostics thought that Jesus and Christ were not the same person. So whenever possible, they did not use the name Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. Now, here's what they believe. On page 95, this is all from the Gnosticism book, the Christ is separate from Jesus, page 95. The Christ came upon Jesus at his baptism in order to enlighten and perfect him and left him before he died. At Calvary, Christ left Jesus. They split him up. The foremost error, here's what Dr. Jack Mormon says. The foremost error regarding the person of Christ is, of course, to deny the true deity and true humanity. The chief means by which this was done, which finds expression down to our own day, is technically known by the term adoptionism or spirit Christology. Dr. Mormon says, here, Jesus of Nazareth, an ordinary man of unusual virtue, was adopted by God into divine sonship by the advent of the Christ Spirit at the baptism. Therefore, Jesus became Christ at his baptism, rather than the fact that he was always the Christ from eternity. And though united for a time, Jesus and Christ were separate personages. That's the error of falseness. I want to show you 19 verses where they split up Christ from Jesus. 1 John 4:3, I'm going to go very quickly through because of time factors that we have a very serious chairman. And he might get upset. Now notice, Jesus knows Christ is coming to the flesh, is gone. They separate Jesus from Christ. And notice the various versions down here that also do the same. They omit Christ is coming in the flesh. They separate Jesus from Christ. All these versions. 1 Corinthians 9:1, Jesus Christ is gone. They don't have the two people together, the two personalities. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, again, Jesus is gone, just Christ, separating him. All these other verses at the foot of the page, the same. Colossians 1, 28, Christ Jesus, they take out Jesus. They don't believe Christ Jesus is one man, one person, but two people, two personalities, and not the same united. And Hebrews 3, verse 1, Christ Jesus, they take out Christ. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, Christ Jesus, they take out Jesus here, just Christ, but not Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:14, they say Christ Jesus, but they take out the word Jesus from there. In Revelation 1 and verse 9, again, Christ is gone, just Jesus, that's all. Revelation 12:17, again, just Jesus, no Christ, he's gone, not the shepherd, not the both of them. And then in Acts 15 and verse 11, again, Lord Jesus, but not Christ, he's gone from there. Acts 16:31, Christ is gone from Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, Lord Jesus, Christ is gone from that verse. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31, Christ is gone from this one. In 1 Thessalonians 3, and verse 11, they take away Christ. They don't put the two together. In 1 Thessalonians 3, and verse 13, Christ is gone here also. And 2 Thessalonians 1, and verse 8, Christ is gone here. In Revelation 22, verse 21, again, Christ is removed. And then, now, just pausing right there, we've taken 19 verses very hurriedly, very hurriedly. To somebody just looking at that, they say, so what? So Jesus is gone, Christ is gone. If you realize the Gnostic heresies that split up the person, Jesus was a man, sinful man that was born like you and I are born, needed to be saved, not the Savior, and then the Christ came upon this man, Jesus, at his baptism, left him at Calvary. When you realize that, and you see these things are there. Now, the Gnostics didn't have all the Bible. They didn't have all the manuscripts. So in many of the manuscripts, Jesus Christ is there. But in these that they take it out, these are the ones they had in their hands in Alexandria, Egypt, in that time. Now, notice the Gnostic heresies about Jesus. Page 93, again, of this textbook. Jesus had a sin nature, like everyone other. Horrible. Redemption includes Jesus Christ. He had to be saved. Christ was a created being, had a beginning in time, not an eternal Son of God. The Son is not equal to the Father. No deity. Jesus was not God incarnate. Did not have all of God's attributes. Well, there are four Gnostic denials some more here. First of all, the Gnostics denied that the Lord Jesus Christ was Lord. Secondly, they denied that he was the Son of God. Third, they denied that he had a special relationship to his Father. Fourth, they denied Christ's bodily resurrection. I want to show you 13 verses on this denial of Christ as Lord. The term, notice page 60 says, the term Lord refers to the Father, not Jesus. The Lord was not Jesus, just the Father. In Luke 9:57, they said unto him, Lord is gone. Don't believe his deity. Luke 23:42, Lord is gone here. Remember me, Lord, that repentant thief. Lord is gone. Romans 6:11, our Lord is gone. He's not our Lord, according to the Gnostics. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, again, the Lord from heaven, he's just simply the man, the Spirit from heaven, but the Lord is gone. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, denying the Lord Jesus, he's gone, not Lord, he's not deity. In Galatians 6:17, marks of the Lord is gone here. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, the Lord is gone from this verse. In 1 Timothy 5:21, the Lord is gone here. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, the Lord is gone here in this verse. And again, in Titus 1 and verse 4, the Lord is gone here. And then in 2 John 1 and verse 3, the Lord is missing here. They don't tie up Jesus with the Lord. Don't tell me what happened. Okay, I won't tell you. You don't ask me, I won't tell you. All right. In Acts 9, verse 29, is everything all right? Does this get removed? This must pull out, huh? That pulled out. All right. Okay.
Take care of it.
Take care. You take care. I'll keep talking. Okay. Will it get back on? You have to put it up. Well, maybe it'll go on. There it is. Whoop, there it went. Okay. There it is. Okay. Now we see it. Now we know. Okay. No, I keep talking. I answer. Gnostics deny the deity of Christ in Acts 9:29. Jesus is gone here. Now, here's the next one, the next series. Deny that Jesus is as Lord again. Jesus is gone from Lord. So not Lord Jesus, but simply Jesus. Then in 1 Corinthians 16:22, they take the Lord here, but they take away Jesus Christ from the Lord. He's not Lord. They've got to take it away. And then the next segment, three different verses on the Gnostic denial of the deity of Christ as being the Son of God. He was not the Son of God. For instance, in John 6, in verse 69, thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God, is gone, changed to the Holy One of God, but not the Son of God. In all these versions underneath here. In Acts 8:37, the whole verse is gone because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The whole verse is empty by the critical text, and the Gnostics did it, I believe, very seriously. And then Matthew 8:29, what are we to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God. See, Jesus, they don't believe, is the Son of God, which is a term of deity. Let's move on to denial of the Lord Jesus Christ's relationship to his Father. In this particular relationship, there are five verses on this one. In John 8:28 rather, they say, but as my Father hath taught me, they say, no, as the Father. They do not want a special relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his Father. My Father. Just like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. They say, no, just the Father, not my Father. And the same in John 10:32, from my Father. Just they change it to the Father. That's all they want. Not a special relationship to the Father. John 16:10, the same. I go to my Father. Special relationship from eternity past, just to the Father. And then Ephesians 3 and verse 14. The Father, and then they leave out of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not, according to the Gnostics, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A special relationship to his Father. Colossians 1 and verse 2. Again, from God our Father, period. Leave out the Lord Jesus connected to the Father. And then the next thing about these Gnostics, they deny that Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection and the ability to raise the dead. There are two verses on this one. They say the resurrection of Christ, this is from page 107 in the book, 107, the resurrection of Christ was spiritual and figurative, not bodily. Well, in Acts 2:20, the scriptures say that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, bodily resurrection. The Gnostics can't say that. They don't believe in a bodily resurrection. They simply remove all those words. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, the Spirit of raised up Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. Well, they didn't believe that Jesus could raise up anybody because he was just a human being, a lost, hell-bound sinner. That's what they believe of Jesus, our Savior. And so they have to take away the by and make it with Jesus. Well, two things are wrong. First, they deny his ability to raise up anyone. We believe he can and will raise up some by Jesus. But also, if it's with Jesus, that almost implies Jesus is still in the grave. He did not rise bodily from the grave. He's still in the tomb. We're going to be raised up with him. He's still dead. He's still in the tomb. And then the next thing we see about the Gnostics, they deny the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. They say man is saved, this is page 162 in this textbook, man is saved by the symbolic death of Christ within man, not by the blood of Christ. Page 162. Colossians 1:14, we have redemption, but they take out through his blood. Now you say, well, they didn't take it out in Ephesians 1, all right, they didn't have all the books, but they took it out here. They denied the blood of Christ. The next one, they believe everyone will be saved. Everybody would be saved. The Gnostics believed that everyone in the world would be saved and in heaven, even the devil himself. Two, they therefore deny that there is such a thing as hell or the lake of fire where the lost will spend eternity in damnation. Number three, they deny that they didn't see the need to preach the gospel of Christ to warn the men and women of God's wrath for rejecting his Son as their Savior. Everybody would be saved. Now notice what they teach. Page 33 of the book. I just keep holding this book. You know what book it is. I just say in that book. All right. Page 33. Lucifer is the Savior. Gnosticism. The devil is an instrument of God and will ultimately be pardoned. He's going to be pardoned. The old devil himself. Page 179. Redemption includes all the angels, including Satan and his angels. Page 182. Redemption includes the whole world. Universal salvation. Page 66. God is the universal Father of all mankind. All mankind are his sons. In Revelation 21:24, their doctrine is here. Of the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, but they don't, everybody's saved, so just remove that. All the nations shall walk in the light of that new Jerusalem. Take away the fact that everybody's saying everybody's going to be saved. Then the Gnostics deny the need of everyone to be saved, the need of salvation. In John 6:46, 47 rather, the Lord Jesus said very clearly, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Since the Gnostics didn't believe the Lord Jesus was anything but a human being, leave him out of it. Leave him out of it. Everybody's saved. They don't need Christ, so they take out on me. And all these versions, ASV, NASB, NIV, English Standard, Revised Standard, Chinese Union Version, all these different ones, take out on me. Then the next thing, they deny the need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In Matthew, well, let's see here. Did I miss one? Well, let's see. Maybe that was it right there. All right, let's go on to the next one. They deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the virgin birth of Christ is denied. In Matthew 1:25, it talks about Joseph knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. The word firstborn is missing, just brought forth her son. Could have been her second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. But the virgin birth of Christ is essential. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. They didn't believe it was the firstborn, and so they removed that word for firstborn. And then they deny the sinlessness and truthfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two verses on that. Joseph was the father of Jesus, not God. In other words, just a human being born as every one of us was born. And Luke 2:33, our King James Bible accurately says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things." But the Gnostics and all these other versions change it to his father or the child's father as if he was the real father. But it's not the father or his real father, and it's Joseph by name. Joseph and his mother separated, but the Gnostics denied that the Lord God of heaven and earth was the Lord's father. And then they deny the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. Jesus had a sin nature at page 93 of this textbook here. And redemption includes Jesus Christ, page 180. In other words, he needed to be saved like you and I need to be saved. In Luke 2:22, Manny Rodriguez mentioned this in the Spanish Bible. They have the same error, the same falseness, because Gnosticism is throughout all languages, all Bibles, every one of them, French and German and Spanish and Chinese and Japanese and Italian and all these others, and it's in all of our English versions, aside, most of them aside from the King James Bible. The days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. Spike speaks of Mary's purification. Now, there are two errors when they remove her and change it to their. Their purification. That includes Joseph, that includes Mary, that includes the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, their means that Jesus, therefore, needed purification, therefore he was a sinner. And the Gnostics agree he was a sinner. He had a sin nature like every other man. He needed redemption. And so they say it's their purification, including the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first error. The second error is, according to the law of Moses, the law of Moses is very specific. Just the woman, the mother, is brought up for purification, not the father, not the baby. So the sinlessness and truthfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ is denied. The truthfulness is here. They deny he was sinless and truthful. They had a sin nature, and therefore he was a liar. He could be a liar, and he had redemption includes Jesus Christ. In John 7, verse 8, he said to his half-brothers, "Go ye up into this feast." I go not up yet into this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Well, the Gnostics and the critical text removes the word yet, and yet in the next couple of verses, the Lord Jesus goes up to the feast. And he said, just two verses away, one or two verses, "Go ye up, I go not up unto this feast," according to the Gnostic versions of Vatican and Sinai, making him a liar. He told his half-brothers he wasn't, and he changed his mind, went up, and so he was a sinner. That's what they're trying to say in that, and he was not truthful. And then they deny the Lord Jesus was the Creator. In this statement, page 27, the Christ was a created being and therefore had a beginning in time. Well, if he's a created being, he certainly couldn't be the creator, could he not? In Ephesians 3 and verse 9, again, Manny Rodriguez also quoted this in the Spanish Bible, 1960, some of the other places. Hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he could create anything. He was just a human being. He was just a created being. And so they removed by Jesus Christ. And then they deny the Trinity. The Son is not equal to the Father, they say on page 63. Therefore, they could not have John 5, 7, and 8. He's in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, the unity, the Trinity, and so on. They could not have that, therefore they removed it, denying the Trinity. Then they denied the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was not incarnate, it's page 80 and 87, and did not have all of God's attributes. One of the attributes was omnipresence. And so in John 3, verse 13, no man that ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which was in heaven. Now, which is in heaven, those four words are removed in all these versions, because the Gnostics could not believe how the Lord Jesus Christ could be on earth at the same time in heaven. His omnipresence, his body was on earth, as to his deity was in heaven, and that's his omnipresence. And they denied that, they couldn't stand for that. And so they had that change. And then the Gnostics denied that God was manifest in the flesh, his incarnation. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. And we all know that they changed that either to hos, which is who, or ha, which is which. And maybe seven manuscripts have hos, about seven or eight have ha, either what or which or who, but over 100 have Theos, which is God. Dean Burgon has 76 pages in the Revision of Revised, showing clearly that that's the right text. But the Gnostics could not and did not believe that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was just a human being. He couldn't be God. He couldn't be manifest in the flesh. And so remove it. And all these verses remove it also. In Matthew 18 and verse 11, they deny the mission. Why he came, the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 18:11, very clearly our King James Bible teaches the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's why he came. Well, that's ridiculous as far as the Gnostics are concerned. And all these other verses apparently thought it was ridiculous also. They left the whole verse out. He came to save the lost. You and I and all the world, he came to save and lost. The same is true in Luke 9:56. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. All those in red, all those words are gone because they didn't believe he'd come anywhere. Come from where? Come from a little manger? Come from an ordinary Joseph the father, human being, and Mary the mother, and no virgin birth, no nothing? He didn't come to save anybody. This is why they take it out, the Gnostic heresy in that. And then they deny the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 8 and verse 59. The Pharisees, those that hated the Lord Jesus Christ, took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now these words are omitted by the Gnostic Vatican Sinai Biennale of manuscripts, going through the midst of them and so passed by. All these versions take this out as well. This talks about the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about this many times in our Dean Burgon Society. I just review it and remind you of it. But if everyone in this room tonight were to gather together in that center aisle and try to beat me to death or kill me or strangle me or tackle me or stop me from going down that aisle, you could do it. I believe it because I'm just a human being. I know that football players can go through lines if it's opened up by the line, if the fullbacks can go through, and that's a possibility, but they normally are tackled. How do you explain the Lord Jesus in this verse going out of the temple when they already had the stones in hand ready to cast at him, to kill him? How do you explain going through the midst of them and so pass by? Unless he was the omnipotent Son of God with all the attributes of deity, omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, all powerfulness. And that's exactly what the Gnostics did not believe. And they removed from this John 8, they had it in their hands, took it out because they didn't believe it. And then one more verse, Philippians 4, verse 13. And I'm in good shape in writing the time. It took enough time getting this thing ready. I don't know what happened. We tried my machine and my video projector, this machine and my video projector, this machine and his video projector. Finally, we got it working. Never happened before. I hope it doesn't happen again, but we'll have to work on it. Philippians 4:13. The Gnostics deny the Lord Jesus Christ and give strength. Philippians 4:13. Let's say that. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Of course, the word that took out is Christ. Because again, with Jesus being separate from Christ, Christ leaving the Lord Jesus at his crucifixion, coming upon him at his baptism, he could not strengthen anybody according to the Gnostics. And so it's removed. Now I'd just like to connect some of these things. Now that we've seen some pictures and we've got that thing up, just want to see a few things. Because as Dr. Sorensen has so aptly said in his presentation, the relationship between the text of the Bible and separation, biblical separation. I'd like to say to all of our friends, biblical, separated, fundamentalist friends, who differ with us on this text of Scripture, I'd like to say something to them. I'm talking about these 11 schools we mentioned on this question and answer time. Brother Jasmine has 10 of the 11 in his book, Why Schools Go Bad. But the leadership of Bob Jones University, and from there, Detroit Baptist Seminary, and Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Maranatha, all these different, and the other six schools that are supposedly fundamentalists. And I say they're fundamentalists. I use fundamentalists. Some people argue. They say, you can't say they're fundamentalists because they don't have the text receptus. They deny this Scripture. And they want me to say they're not fundamentalists. All right. I prefer to say they're fundamentalists because that's what they claim to be in all the other doctrines. But they're certainly not fundamentalists in the Bible. Doctrine of the Bible, bibliology, they're apostate, they're modernist, they're absolutely nothing fundamentalist about their bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. But our fundamentalist friends, these schools, they also claim, not only are they fundamentalists, but they claim to be separatists. Every one of these 11 schools, Bob Jones is the leader. And I've said before, rather than to see get this spider's egg and that spider's egg, this spider's egg, and attack the spider itself. Bob Jones, multi-billion-dollar outfit. That's the leadership. This is the school that has made these other schools. This is the mother of these other children's schools: Detroit, Central, Calvary, and these others. That's the mother school, and the teachers and training have come from there. Now they're separatists. My, they're wonderful separatists. They have articles on separation, biblical separation. Now, my question is this. If these schools are separatists, the first thing that they should be doing, let me just challenge them, is to separate from false doctrine. First thing they got to do is separate, divorce themselves from false doctrine. And when I see that the Bibles that they push the New American Standard Version, they push the American Standard Version, they push the English Standard Version. These are the special ones. They might be pushing some others, but in pushing them, they're not separate from the fact that they deny Christ and Jesus are separate people. They are not separated from that heresy that Jesus and Christ are separate individuals. They're not separate from denying that Jesus is the Lord. They're using Bibles, and they're pushing Bibles and selling Bibles and praising Bibles and praising Greek texts to say Jesus is not Lord. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They're pushing that. They're not separated from that particular false doctrine. They're pushing Bibles that say Jesus has not a special relationship to his Father. They're pushing Bibles that deny his bodily resurrection. They're pushing Bibles that deny his ability to raise the dead. Fundamentalists claiming to be separatists are not separating from false doctrine in their Bibles that they're selling in their bookstores and pushing all over the world and sending missionaries to the field, to Singapore and other schools, other areas, to fight with fundamentalist brethren over their Bible Presbyterian Church, for example, in Singapore. Dr. Timothy Toe, for 30-some years, 30 or 35 years, pastor of a church. Bob Jones graduates got in there, split that whole thing up, denied the preservation of Scripture, verbal plenary preservation. They're denying, and they say, all right, we're going to split you up, and kicked out Pastor Timothy until they started another church. They met for their school in their building that was in that church because the school was a seminary. Dr. Jeffrey Koo is a dean there. And now they've kicked him out of that building, just wiped them right out and moved them off I tell you, it's all the B.J. Bob Jones people. This email from Joseph Ng is a graduate of Bob Jones. But denying the bodily resurrection of Christ that he can raise the dead. They're not separated from that false teaching. Or denying about the blood of Christ that can save. That's not separated from that false doctrine. Believing that everyone would be saved. They're not separatists if they're pushing Bibles that teach that everyone can be saved, including the devil himself. And also denying that people need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the fact that the virgin birth of Christ and the teaching there by their using these Bibles are not separating from this heresy. They're denying the sinlessness and truthfulness of Jesus Christ in the verse they're pushing. They don't care. Now, it may be something if they don't know. But listen, every single one of these schools who's written the books, book after book after book, I've tried my best to answer every book that they come out. It's on the book there. From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man. All these other books. And as I answer those books, don't be silly. At least somebody in the school must get at least one book and reads a little bit of what Waitsman teaches. I don't know. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Ever since defending the King James Bible, they know that there's errors, doctrinal errors, perversions. In fact, 356 to be exact, in the pushing, the things that they're pushing. And yet, they don't care. And yet, they claim fundamentalism. They claim separatism, biblical separation. The first thing the Bible teaches us as far as separation is separation from sin and everything, false doctrine, false teaching, and this is a terrible thing. They deny that Jesus Christ was the Creator by their non-separating from the versions that they push, denying the Trinity, the versions they push. They're not separate from this denial. They're not separate from the denial of the omnipresence, the Lord Jesus being everywhere present, or that God was manifest in the flesh, or the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. They deny that. They're not separated from that. But the Lord Jesus can give us strength. I don't know when they're going to stop their pushing of the false Greek text that underlies the modern versions. I don't think they ever will. I don't think there's no mind, there's no will to separate from that. I know for one thing, I'm not going to separate from the text of Receptus and the King James Bible and the Masoretic Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek words underlying it. I'm not going to separate from it. And they say, we're fighting, we're scrapping, we're scrappers. I'm not scrapping. As long as they lay down their arms, I'll lay down mine. But they're not going to lay them down, you see. There's a battle afoot. And that one man that sent the email and ask Brother Rainey to answer him about why is the Dean Burgon side in peril? Why is there going to be a battle? Well, the battle is over the Bible. And as dear Dr. Fuller, our first vice president of our Dean Burgon side, when it was organized 30 years ago, he quoted his former pastor as saying this: the devil in the Garden of Eden camped under the tree of knowledge. And he's camped there ever since. On the tree of knowledge, he's camped there ever since. You look at all the schools that have started one way and they've ended up another. There's no school, no so-called knowledge. Charity buildeth up. But knowledge, something is not good, see. And this is what they've done. And because of the schools, because they're educated beyond their spiritual intelligence, apparently, because the scholars, you've got to go to the scholars. And the people are telling us that only the scholars can get into the battle for the Bible. Lay people, shut up. That's about what they're saying. They don't use those words, but that's what they're saying. If you haven't got a theological education with this type of Greek and this type of Hebrew, this type of knowledge, and you haven't been to one of our schools especially, you are ignoramuses. You don't know what you're talking about. Just be quiet. Let the scholars take charge of your Bible. Never let them say that. Never let them do that. We've had people that said in the Dean Burgon side through these 30 years, why do you have these laymen speak at your meetings? Why do you have these young men that perhaps are not as erudite as some of the others that speak? Why don't you just have a few scholars, a few highfalutin people to talk? I told the individual that told me that, I said, that's not the purpose of our Dean Burgon Society. We want pastors. We want lay people. We want preachers. We want other people. We want people to talk and tell us as a society what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them and as far as the Bible is concerned. And that's why we're not a frigid, rigid, intellectual, highfalutin society. We're not against knowing things, but the trouble is when you know things that are wrong, that's horrible. How are you ever going to unlearn and unteach these people that are teaching our students and the seminaries and colleges and on the mission field things that are wrong? How are you going to do that? You can't unteach the people once they've been taught. I've said many times, and I've got about 4 more minutes. I just don't mind if I'm talking a little bit. I'm just going to talk. I finished my subject. I'm just going to talk a little bit. That's all I've been doing is talking. Once I got this gadget working. I tell you, we had more trouble with these computers than anything in any year that we've been here. It's 30 years. This is the 30th year. It's a horrible year for computers. Everything can be corrected but the computer. Let me just tell you about this one thing, and then I'll try to close if I can. All right. There are two kinds of people. I've said it many times. The type of person, when confronted with truth, will reject error. A second type of person, when holding to error and confronting with truth, holds to the error and rejects the truth. Which kind of person are you? That's the important question. Every one of us have had many false teachings through our lifetime. We've held to false things. But when truth comes, what do we do with it? I hope we embrace it. Rod Winograd has embraced truth. Julie Monahan has embraced truth. These people are 2-3 years in the Lord, and yet they've got the picture on the King James Bible, see? You don't have to be an old saint that never knows anything about the Bible, doesn't care about it. But they've embraced truth. Now, that's what I did. I was trained at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm going to get a beeper in just a few seconds, but I got 2 more minutes after me, so please, don't get off your seats. I was trained at Dallas, Westcott and Hort. That's the Bible they gave us. I knew nothing from 1950 to 1970, 20 years. And a little girl her name is Sandy Phillips. She raised her hand. She said, Dr. Waite, I've got 2 more minutes. Dr. Waite, do you know there's a book in our library that stands for the text underlying the King James Bible, the Greek text in the King James Bible? I said, no, Sandy, I didn't know that was in our library. But I went and got it. She referred to Dean Burgon's book, The Revision Revised. My mother-in-law had sent me several books on that subject. And from that day to this, I've been reading, studying, writing, talking, preaching, and all I could do. I was misinformed. I did not have the truth. I learned a lot at Dallas Theological Seminary. Yes, I learned a lot of Greek and Hebrew and speaking and history and everything else, but I had never learned what my Bible was. Old Dr. Schaefer used to take King James all this throughout his theology, 8 volumes. Dr. Welford shrunk it from 8 volumes to 2, and throughout the King James put in the NIV. Dallas is a different place, but they never taught the truth of the Scripture. And as I said before, I hope every one of us, in errors that we have, many of us still have errors. When somebody gives us truth, may God give us the grace to reject the error and hold to the truth.